Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Schenck, and I am the host of the show. Joining me tonight is Sheila Audette, a.k.a. Astrology's Astrologer. We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. Sheila will be reading tarot cards for those of you who call in. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Sheila Audette. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
Good.
Long time no talk to.
Yes. How are you this evening?
Oh, I'm okay this evening.
Good.
Doing splendidly, actually. It was a beautiful day, and I got so many emails about what a beautiful day it was. I can't believe it.
I know. I think we can really be amazed by this because it's unusual. And tomorrow promises to be about the same. So,
well, people were emailing that they were on their deck and that they were, they were doing all kinds of things, and it just sounded really, really magnificent. And there is a new baby in the world. My best friend's daughter had a little girl called Leah Elizabeth Swift.
Somebody said the other night at work, wow, when you put the name Elizabeth into a name, oh my gosh, people are calling in. Anyway, when you put the name Elizabeth in a name, it just kind of centers it, or it balances it. It makes the name just gives it a lot of calming influence. Yeah.
I just thought it was quite beautiful, Leah Elizabeth Swift. And she did not come swiftly. She was almost 2 weeks late.
Oh, yes. She waited till
All Saints Day to come, November the 1st. So she came in on quite a holy day, and everybody is very happy and very pleased. So.
And do you have your tarot deck all ready?
I have 4 tarot decks ready.
Okay, hang on just a minute.
Okay.
Good evening there. This is Kate. 510 area code. How are you this evening?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Great. Did you call before ever?
No, this is the first time I found you all in the list of live shows. So I'm not even sure what the format is for tonight.
Well, I'm glad you called. Now, tonight, Sheila, our guest, is going to be doing tarot reading for whomever calls.
Oh.
Is that something you'd be interested in?
Of course it is.
First of all, what's your name?
Camille.
Hi, Camille. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you. And yourself?
Good. What's the date of your birth, honey?
July 13th, 1976.
Okay, July 13, 1976, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to look up astrologically. Have you had your chart done?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I'm familiar with it.
Okay, so were you born in the morning or the afternoon?
6:18 p.m. in Los Angeles.
Good for you.
Yeah.
L.A., huh?
That is great, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not living there now, but that's where I spent 30 years.
Well, we're just referring to the fact that you know all these things. This is quite unusual.
Well, it's important to be familiar with your chart, I believe.
Yes, we do too.
Yeah, and it's like it takes nothing to look at your own birth certificate and, you know, read it and remember, but some people it's kind of behooves them.
I think that when you really are interested in your own birth chart and all you're really interested in the soul's in the soul giving you the message of why you're here,
mm-hmm.
and that you take responsibility for it, it's kind of like they put it on the funny page in the newspaper and all, and people just don't take responsibility for the whole their whole chart and their map, and
mm-hmm.
so it's really convenient to know the map and how it progresses.
I agree.
You have the sun in Cancer, right, and the moon in Aquarius, honey?
Yes.
It's interesting. You're the third Aquarius moon today. So it must be a big
boy.
It must be a big day for Aquarius moon and me.
Funny. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah. I was doing charts and people, you know, and I've been working with the way I do astrology, and I'll do your cards in a minute, is that I look at the sun sign as the God seed. And it's like the seed, and unless at some moment it is broken open or nurtured, or really when you do work with your own chart, you nurture it and it grows. Or then some catastrophic event also can open, you know, break open that seed in the center of the circle. The symbol for the sun in astrology is a circle with a dot in the middle for people that are listening. And the moon in Aquarius, honey, that is, it's really your, I take the moon as if you take, that it circles around you, and that basically it's an indicator of the emotions of what's going on inside of someone to break open the God seed.
Mm.
So as because your moon progresses every 2.5 years, it means that we're in a different emotional environment all the time.
Right.
And it's like we move, you know, we move from environment to environment, and then the people around us change somewhat. And we have a new emotional kind of indicator, and the indicator is always what is something that is trying to open up the seed at a deep level. You also have Mercury in Cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And I find Mercury in Cancer to be very empathetic. Yeah, with a lot of empathy and a lot of caring for other people, and also an advocate, you know.
Right. Okay.
For other people. And Venus in Cancer, what a loving chart. It's really quite beautiful.
Cool.
Mars in Virgo, I certainly though wouldn't want to piss you off.
No, not at all.
But that would be good if you were in the advocate position. Okay.
Mm.
If
okay.
You were in that kind of position, it's good to, you know, it's good to get pissed off sometimes.
Right.
Okay. Do you have a question, honey, or do you want me to just start pulling cards for you?
Of course I do. I mean, since I'm familiar with my own chart and I know that I've got those three Cancer planets in my seventh house, and I'm very relationships. You know, relationships
mm-hmm.
are very important to me. And I'm not in I'm in a relationship with myself,
mm-hmm.
and I'm in a relationship with God and whatever brand of spirituality that I adopt.
Mm-hmm.
But I am not in a romantic relationship. And I met somebody over the summer,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't really connect until 2 weeks ago. His name is Brian. And I'm wondering, my question is, does this have any long-term romantic potential?
Well, the first card I drew was the Ten of Discs, and I'm working with some Mother Peace deck here.
I have Mother Peace, yes.
Oh, good. So you know the Ten of Discs, which is the women gathered around, and she's having a baby.
Mm-hmm.
You can take that in the spiritual sense of you know, birthing oneself in a safe place, Or you can also take it, you know, that you're birthing some new this relationship, and that it's a really soul relationship, and there's a lot of protectors around it.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
With this card. And also, the next card I pulled in the heart center is the Four of Cups. And you know the Four of Cups is the picture of the woman that's turning her, going from the river to the ocean?
Mm.
With the four pottery vases around her.
Right.
So it means it's that she's ready for bigger things.
Tell me about it.
Yes, I am. that she basically is ready. She has done all of these things. She has worked all of these. And, again, it's an emotional card, and I talk about indicators of emotion. So it seems that you worked a lot of things out within yourself, and you are ready. Your perception of reality is that you love yourself enough that you are at a place where someone else can come in.
Right.
And that will be not a dysfunctional relationship, but a functional relationship.
Right.
So
yeah.
It means this card for me, this Four of Cups, means you're ready to take this leap. You're ready to go in the ocean because, you know, a friend of mine once said, love hurts, but it's worth it. Because we never so love is worth it, but there's a difference between, you know, romantic love and unconditional love.
Right.
And unconditional love is that I love you no matter what you say. what you think of me in some ways is none of my business because I really love you anyway. And that's someone that's really safe in the loving place of themselves.
Okay.
And the next card is a major arcana card. It's the Empress. And she's laying with the leopard cover over her. And she's laying between places. I love this card. She's holding up the rose of romantic love. That rose means, in some way, there's an expectation of being hurt. Red roses mean there. So it's saying... the card is, and then in the back of the card is the ancient memory, and in the front of the card is the harvest. So what the card is really telling you to do is to lay down the rose and pick up the mirror and look at yourself and tell yourself that you totally love yourself and that you're ready to harvest all these things that you've put together and you're ready to do that with another person, honey.
Right.
So
okay.
What it's saying is, oh, I don't know about these baby cards. You got the Ace of Discs, too, at the bottom, which is the, you know, the child within the unicorn?
Oh, boy. Okay.
And then the child has the totem, which is the little leopard that the child is holding.
Wow.
And so that means everything is contained within this. This seed is ready to open, honey.
Okay.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah, did that answer your question?
I think so, and I'm going to go and grab my deck later on. I wrote down each card, and just to, I read tarot myself, but
mm-hmm.
I'm more well-versed in mythic tarot and then some other ones, but Mother Peace, I've got the big one and the small one, and I haven't played with it quite as much.
Well, then you crack that deck.
Yeah, but it's like it sounds like a very fruitful and productive.
The Mother Peace deck. The why I'm really drawn toward that was when I first started to somebody first introduced me to it. It was written by women for women.
Right.
And
right.
And the Waite Rider deck is more male oriented, and
yeah.
Also the ethnic. There's an ethnic quality about the Mother Peace deck that comes through.
That's
and they're
cool.
They're also round, which I love this circle thing, with like the astrological chart.
Oh, I never thought of it that way. That's okay. I like that. But yeah, I'll look that up because it sounds like the cards that you pulled for me really does.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like a good, I guess, omen.
Yes.
For me in this time in life and perhaps with this other person. So.
Yes, dear.
It does sound very hopeful. It sounds very hopeful, yes.
Well,
yeah.
the ace of discs, whenever you get an ace, honey,
mm-hmm.
of any of the cards, you're ready to trump something.
Yeah.
You're ready to ace it. You're ready to take that risk, but then you have this, you have the water card over here of stepping into the ocean.
Oh, wow.
So you go get those cards and you look at them, and always, you know, as you look at them, your intuition will bring out even more.
Right.
That's right.
Right. Wow.
All right. Nice
okay,
to meet
thank you.
You
very much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you, Camille.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good night.
I'm just going to listen in. Good night.
Okay. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. I just put that in the chat room. Joan Adams is in the chat room as well as Sid, my sister Sid, and I'm encouraging them to call in.
I love Joan Adams. Where are you, Joan?
Joan? Sid? Joan? No, anyway, if you would, since nobody's really calling in at the moment. Oh, no, there's Joan. She's typing.
Oh, good.
Oh, she can't use the minutes. So maybe she would just like a card drawn from the chat room. I'll
okay.
Just,
so
go ahead.
Should I just do a reading for Joan?
Yeah, go ahead. And wait a minute. Let me just see if she can hear.
Okay.
I think she can because otherwise, why would she be there?
Hi, sweetheart. Hi, honey.
She's having problems with her using up her minutes.
Okay, but I can.
She said she's going to call for just a few minutes. So, okay, there she is. Hang on. Hello, dear Joan.
Oh my
evening.
Am I going to hear that wonderful Southern accent?
Indeed, you are. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
You're wonderful.
Yes, dear. It's so good.
I love hearing your voice. I love hearing you.
Yes.
Oh, it's fun.
It was so funny because I was going through my library today and I was working on charts and there was Joan Adams and I said, oh, I do really miss her.
Oh,
and
thank you. I miss you.
There you are. Okay, so I'm going to do the mother piece for you. Do you have a question, sweetie? Or should I just do them?
Just go for it. Tell me something wonderful.
Okay. You have the major arcana card in the heart center of the chariot. And what this looks like in the Mother Beast deck is it's a woman of it looks like a half moon that this woman is protecting the woman on the chariot. So what this card is telling you is that you should go with your intuition in a certain situation, that you can't go wrong. And it means get out of your comfort zone, move into the next circle of stretching, which means stretch and do something that would be uncomfortable, and take a risk, because now is the time to do it.
Wow.
And the cup, the card going into it, means that you are juggling 8 different cups. This is an octopus. And you're juggling 8 different kinds of emotional things. And every time someone gets near you to relieve you, you put out ink. And they can't see you. Say, oh, I'm fine. Oh, I'm all right. Oh, I'm okay. So
mm-hmm.
the major arcana card is saying, let somebody in, really start to open your eyes because it's time to take a risk. And wow, then you've got the Ten of Wands. The Ten of Wands is like, it's like all these women dancing and musical and opening up. And the Ten of Wands is like a new beginning of a creative process. When all of the music and everything is playing and you're inspired, it's that first point of when you do passion about learning something new or doing something new, or like Kate with her prescriptions for prayer book.
Right.
By the way, what a beautiful cover that is!
Thank you.
Yes. And then sitting at the bottom of that is another major arcana card. It's the cross, the onyx, with the white light coming through the cross, and the rainbow is over top of the world. So whatever this is that intuitively that you should take a step into is going to change the world, Joan. The one in the many and the many of the one. You know the girl with the curly hair on evening news that said she would not pay the $5 extra for the American Bank, Bank of America. And my God, that child, that one child got that changed.
Yep.
And that, for me, was amazing. That's
critical. Yeah.
That's the Aquarian age. She started 100,000 people, and she got people to change banks and everything else.
Well, they were lined up around here.
Yeah, and that was her. That one,
yeah.
That Uranus in Aries that's in now, that one child did that. And it's amazing now that in this with this Uranus in Aries and Pluto in Capricorn that we're seeing the underbelly of certain kind of things in the government, and that the people are occupying spaces and saying, I don't know what they're asking. What do you want? They say, we know what we don't want. And anybody that, I don't know, Delaney, did you read his wonderful thing on his, Kate?
On
The biblical message, and I couldn't get it off because my printer ran out of ink today.
Oh.
Yes, but it's a great thing that, did you read it yet? It's a biblical thing about the one in the many and the many in the one.
Okay.
And that we, no one should be rich and no one should be poor. There should be an equality. It's very Aquarian. There should be equality for all men. And no
mm-hmm.
one should be over anyone else.
Right.
And that is exactly, he says, that's exactly what these occupied kings are saying. I got a little off your reading, didn't it, Joan?
Yes, and I've got to get off of this phone.
I know
I really
you do.
Don't have the minutes.
The one
I
in the many,
you
got to go to the many, right?
Right. I love you.
Love you.
Bye-bye.
Love you,
bye.
Too. Bye-bye. Well, I was going to say something about that.
What
was it? Well, it'll come to me. There's another person on the phone here. Let me bring them on.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there. This is 111. Good evening.
Hello there. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Great. Would you like a tarot reading this evening and a little bit of...
I'd love that.
And a slash astrological insight as well?
That'd be great.
Okay. Wait, what's your birthday? What's your name?
It's Steve, and my birth date is 9/18/56.
Okay, Steve.
That's right.
I don't know why I turned the wrong way in the ephemeris. So you tell me why I did that. Have you had your chart done before, Steve?
Oh, yes, I have, I'm Virgo rising 5 degrees.
Oh, wow. There you go. Okay. So, and the moon is in Scorpio?
It's in Pisces.
Okay.
Yeah, 6 degrees.
Okay. So it's 9. Okay. I got it. 6 degrees, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, you know, I find it interesting right now that the Pisces energy is so, the Virgo Pisces energy is so at the forefront. When I look at the Virgo sun as the God seed, Steve, it's about each one of the lines, you know, the M,
uh-huh.
each one of the lines, one is mental, one is physical, one is emotional, and the glyph turns in, which is spiritual, which means basically you get a lot of heat about Virgos being critical. But basically, their criticalness is really they criticize so much inside before they even criticize outside.
That's true, at least for me.
yeah, well, it's the truth. But I think the incarnation, the spiritual being coming into an incarnation of Virgo is that you see the Scorpio glyph, even though it's supposed to be deep and transformational, the glyph goes out at the end. But the glyph in Virgo goes in. I mean, I have to say, you know, I'm a Leo, okay? And whenever, you know, I'm teaching at a retreat or something, I go, how many Virgos are in the room? Because basically the Leo goes off in this big theatrical thing, and a Virgo will say, back here on page 52, you said this was 120 degrees from this, and you're going, oh, my God, right?
Exactly. Different personalities.
Oh, the Virgo jumps right back into, you know, the technical kind of side of it, and the Leo's going for the theater, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the moon in Pisces, though, you know, as I look, and as I said to the last caller, I look at the sun as the seed breaking open, and something, you know, people don't act like their sun signs, and they say that doesn't like a Leo, or that isn't like this, and that's because the seed, the God seed in the center of the circle, hasn't been broken open yet. It has to be nurtured. It has to go through sometimes a Saturn return. It has to, some kind of catastrophic thing has to happen for that seed to break open.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the moon in Pisces is a satellite around that, that goes around that. And when you're first born, that's an indicator of the emotional mirror of where you are, Steve, the moon in Pisces. Now,
okay.
The moon in Pisces can reflect itself as a hero or as a victim.
Right.
It's the whole thing, if you could take the metaphor of Jesus and some of the religious doctrine, you know, you have to, you know, crawl on your knees and be a victim and suffer and be painful. But that's really not what he taught. He really, as a teacher, taught that I'm here teaching you how to heal. If you say that I can heal you, then you can heal you. And so,
yes, what I can do, you can do also.
Good
to paraphrase.
That's the moon in Pisces. Thank you. And I think that he thought of himself as a hero, okay? But, you know, when you look at a chart like yours, there is always in some way a refusal. And when I look at a sun in Virgo and the moon in Pisces, you know that Michael Jackson was a Virgo, don't you?
Yeah, I know.
Well, you know, that whole quality of Michael Jackson, of, you know, being the star that he was. And then in the reality of the human experience, he couldn't handle the real world.
Right.
He wanted always to be in the magical, into the magical world.
Kind of lived in an ivory tower, like I was telling somebody recently, yes.
Well, and, you know, that's where, you know, his talent, I mean, as a theater person, Michael Jackson changed the scope of music. I mean, he just was, that when he did the moonwalk, he was a rhythmic human being that just created new things. And interestingly enough, Conrad Murray's a Pisces, Dr. Murray.
Interesting.
Yeah, and with the moon in Taurus. Now, I don't have an exact time on him, but it's 0 Pisces 54, the time that I ran this for, which means he possibly could be a void, of course, Aquarius, but I don't think so. The Pisces thing is really up. Steve Jobs was a double Pisces. You know, all these people are, the Piscean energy is really up right now, and you have Mercury in Libra retrograde?
Right.
So what do you do with that? Do you like to how's that manifest?
I find that when I am given, like if I go to the place for the first time, I'm usually late or I had the wrong directions or I had the wrong day, so I have to retrace my steps. It doesn't always go right the first time. And as far as communication, sometimes it's difficult for me to speak my mind. I have to think, what do I want to say? How do I want to say it? Certain reticence.
Well, I find that the Mercury in Libra wants to make everybody else communicate in their speaking, that they want to make the other person feel better in order to make themselves feel better. So they often try to balance out the other person with language and rapport in some way in order to make themselves feel better. So they're always balancing that in that
way.
I
can relate to trying to establish a rapport, but I didn't think my motive was to make me feel better, make the other person feel better, so I could feel in sync with them.
Mm-hmm. Which makes you feel better.
As a result, but not an ultimate goal.
Think about that, okay?
But I try to see the both sides of the situation, which is Libra, mm-hmm. and it's mm-hmm. a sextile Venus as well.
Yes, it is.
So there's a pleasantness about it.
Yes. And Jupiter in Virgo, man. Jupiter in Virgo is very...
Do you feel that's a good... I always read everywhere though, that's a bad aspect. I feel it's a good aspect. Because it just enhances all the things that are good about Virgo, I think.
I don't ever look at aspects as bad and good. I look at aspects as indicators. And I think that Jupiter in Virgo is beautiful.
Thank you.
Well, I think Jupiter in Virgo means mentally, physically, and emotionally, you are really going to expand in every one of the compartments, in every one of those compartments. And then with the glyph turned in, it takes it to a higher level of expansion because it's all spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea why anybody would say that's a negative aspect.
I've seen that in so many astrology books, you would not believe it. Not
don't believe astrology books.
Now, I must ask you, what do you think about Mars in the Pisces? What's the best use of that energy?
Mars in Pisces. Okay, what is Mars to you? What Mars means is action. What Mars means is being first. What Mars means to me is a pioneer. And what Mars in Pisces means to me is basically a spiritual pioneer.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. I always looked at it as just drive. That's what it symbolized.
As what?
You know, forceful drive.
Okay. I think that the Mars in Pisces is very New Age. It's expanding spirituality. I mean, you're going along with your Jupiter in Virgo. Of course, they're in opposition, but that doesn't really matter. It means your Jupiter in Virgo and is always exploring new information on every single level. You'd be great.
That's me for sure.
You'd be great at.
But when I think of Mars, I think of it as an action planet, and in Pisces is very dreamy, very I don't know if I should or not. You know, very mystical. So it's like they don't seem to be in sync.
If you've seen any Shakespeare, I guess that's, you know. Mars in Pisces, I think, is very theatrical. It's very Shakespearean.
Okay.
It's very center of the stage. I mean, it might be a victim, a big drama play in the center of the stage.
Right.
But after all, we all love that. There would be no show without that. It's probably the top of the second act, right?
Right.
And, you know, I think also Mars and Pisces will take it, and then watch out when they really get into pissosity. Because then it's going to be like off with your head, you know?
Yeah, because Mars has to explode at some point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the cards, what do you want? Oh, you actually got the Devil card.
Oh, nice.
Well, no, it's a Capricorn card. It means basically, Stephen, in some aspect of something, you go out and you gather for somebody, and you come in and serve somebody, and then the third level up is you even go to battle for somebody, and then you're taking orders so much at the fourth level is like you're almost a zombie. So what is happening, the clock in this card, there's a chain on all these people, and what happens, it's a Mother Peace card. What is happening, it's not like the Wait Rider. It means the chain is being cut off, and there's something that you're just saying, okay, enough. That's enough. That's a no. I've done every single thing here that I could to balance this out, and now I'm done with it.
Right, that's my job. I know that represents that. That's the only thing it could represent.
Mm-hmm.
But does it show how that's going to come about? I mean,
well, it shows how it's going to. The Magician is the next card that you got here, and magically, as above, so below. So
okay.
it seems that you in the Mother Peace card, the figure in the card is wearing the leopard suit, but has it tied on. So it's not yet fully in the magic to be able to take the risk to say no. It means it's moving towards that position.
Okay.
And the next card up is the World card, which is the 21 card, which is a circle in the Mother Peace with all the people connected together. So, Stephen, what this means here is whatever the job is, there's a much bigger thing waiting for you. God
right.
has a bigger plan.
Right.
And you have to have the risk to say, I'm going on sabbatical from that, and I'm going to make time to risk the new energy to go into this new thing. And they're all
good.
Major arcana cards, Stephen. And the major arcana cards are the cards that are coming directly from behind the veil. That's the way I look at it.
Okay.
So it's a direct channeling. Okay.
Beautiful.
All right, dear.
What's the name of the show? Because I'm not at the computer. I want to make sure I listen to archives.
Go ahead.
It's called Kate Loving and the Collective Wisdom. It would be www.blogtalkradio.com/Kate Loving.
Oh, thank you so much for the reading. I appreciate it.
But, thank
sure,
you for
nice
calling.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Bye.
Bye, Stephen.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, let me bring on somebody else. This is a 541 area code.
Mm-hmm.
Hello there.
Hi, it's me.
Hi, Sid. This is my sister, Sid.
I love Sid. Hi, Sid.
Hi, Sheila. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? How are your children?
Oh, good. I'm. You see, I've got too much on here. I've got the computer as well as the phone now, and you're way ahead of it on the phone
okay.
than on the computer. So anyway,
oh, what
the kids are good. I'm putting the volume
down. Yeah, put the volume down.
That's
go
what
ahead.
I did. I just put the volume down. Yeah, the children
cool.
are doing well. We just came back from California where we saw Kirsten and the children, and
oh, wow.
They're amazingly talented and beautiful, and I'm their grandmother, so what can I say?
Of course.
That's wonderful.
Honey. So we had a good time there, and they are taking on a new adventure.
What
restoring,
is it?
They're restoring an old ranch.
Oh,
that,
how wonderful.
Yeah, that has some historical, you know, relevance, but it's been pretty well, I'd say, neglected for quite a few years, so they're bringing it back.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big project. We've done a little bit of that ourselves, and
mm-hmm.
I know it's a big project. But they're working at it day by day, and the community helps, and it's going well.
It sounds like quite
great
adventure. When's your birthday, honey?
Mine is October 1st, 1945.
That's a Jimmy Carter birthday.
Yes.
So, people are so
president.
Political, you know. Oh my God, you know.
Oh wow, yeah. He is a great man.
Yes, yes. I really
are a great woman. So there
Thank
you
have you.
It.
Yeah. So I was born around 1:30 in the afternoon.
Mhm.
So in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, right?
That's right. Uh huh.
So you're Libra, right?
That's right.
And your moon is on top of mine, my son.
It is. Oh,
it's
boy.
It's on top of my son, which is really interesting.
That is, yeah, yeah.
Leo moon, yeah.
My mother had the Leo moon, too, with Sagittarius rising, but I have Capricorn rising.
Right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the whole thing, you know, I mean, I, you know, years and years and years and years ago, I can remember sitting at your mother's table looking at your chart.
Right.
She would have all of your charts lined up at the table.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I thought she was quite talented at astrology. I really did.
Yeah, she liked it a lot, too. There's no doubt about that.
Well, you like to get, you said, you know, I always, this chart, There is a thing about balance with the Libra always, and therefore I say the Libra is a lot of times out of balance. But, you know, it's the air sign of balance. But with the Moon in Leo, there has to be a certain amount of drama always around in the environment, or it gets boring.
Well, that's probably true, yeah.
And this is,
yes,
this is second Mercury in Libra. You know, the whole Mercury in Libra thing is about, you know, in near linguistics or getting rapport with other people, it's a person that likes to keep the balance in the conversation. You know, I look at Mercury and Libra as, in many ways, as a win-win.
Uh-huh.
It's not, you know, in the conversation, the Mercury and Libra likes, doesn't like the win-lose or the lose-lose. They like to get into a position where everybody's winning.
Yes, and harmony is created somehow.
Yeah. And you have Venus in Virgo, and as a matter of fact, I have Venus in Virgo, and we do grease the pedestal sometimes.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, Venus, you know, I love you very much, but you just slipped right off there.
Oh. I thought it had to do something with attraction.
Yeah. Well, the Venus in Virgo is like going, okay, that was great mentally, but emotionally you're not quite there.
Oh, okay.
Well, I
have a lot of Virgo friends. That's what I'm thinking about it,
yes,
in terms of Venus in Virgo. But you mean it's more critical in terms of relationships?
Well, it, you know, I look at Venus as when the child says, this is mine.
Uh-huh.
This is my toy. This is mine. This is mine. And Venus, for me, when you look at it with the circle on the top, it looks like a mirror.
Uh-huh.
So, for me, Venus is basically a lot, sometimes the egomaniacal part of the chart that is mirroring something in another, mirrors off to something in another, that another person is, that's a mirror to them of the part they don't want to look at.
Uh-huh.
So that's the way I look at it. And then when you have Venus in Virgo, and I can say this because I have Venus in Virgo.
Yes,
so you,
uh-huh, go ahead.
You know? So Venus in Virgo, we look up the mirror, we look in that mirror, and we go, oh, my gosh, we're not quite good enough there.
Oh.
We're not, that's not quite perfect enough.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Even though you're telling me it's great, someone's telling me it's great, you know, unless your standards are met egomaniacally in some way, it's not good enough.
I see.
And Mars in Cancer, of course, Mars in Cancer is like an advocate for, you know, children or anybody that's being hurt or any kind of thing like that.
Right, right.
It's marching at the front of the army.
Uh-huh.
Saying you will not touch that child. You
right,
will
right.
Not
that's
touch
true.
That
protective,
person.
Protective of of the ones who are being
abused,
not treated well.
Yes.
Mhm.
And you have Saturn in Cancer. You're quite a protector. I wouldn't want to get in your way if you were really pissed off.
Well, most of what you're saying reminds me just of my relationship with the students.
Uh-huh.
And my animals.
Of course. Do you have a question, Sid, that you want me to do the cards with a question?
Well, I was thinking about that as you were asking other people, and I really don't know. I'm not, there's so many questions that I don't know if I have one question. But,
okay, so I'll just go.
Okay.
Eight of Wands. The Mother Peace deck, are you familiar with it?
Yes, that's the one I like the best.
Okay. The Eight of Wands, when you look at this little angel with wings, she's a little over-pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And she's, it's like she's pulling back the bow, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 arrows that have already been shot.
Right.
And she has the eighth arrow.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, do I shoot it? Don't I shoot it? I'm overpregnant with this idea. Will it work? Won't it work? I'm very passionate about it. I'm very fired up about it. I have to hit. It's an eight.
Uh-huh.
So I have to hit the exact target, the middle of the alumnus gate, the eight.
So this one has to get there.
Yes, this one has to get there. However, talking about the Venus in Virgo, the other one's only missed by a small mark.
Uh-huh.
But this last one is going to be the one.
Uh-huh.
And
it has to get there exactly.
Yes.
Huh.
And it's a birth of something, honey, because the little girl, if you look at her, if you get out your card, she's pregnant.
Uh-huh.
And it's a passionate fire thing. And the next one you got is the Daughter of Cups. And
uh-huh.
the Daughter of Cups says, take time to meditate, to nurture yourself right now,
mm-hmm.
To sit, and, you know, and bathe yourself in the love of who you are. And so that you can have all the energy that you need for this project.
I see. Right, right.
And you
well,
got
that makes sense too, because the frustration is that I am feeling like that, but I'm also working,
mm-hmm.
which means I have to keep going to work instead of doing all those other things you just said.
isn't that the truth?
Right, right.
Well, there is a thing that you can say about when you're working that you can take 5 minutes out of each hour and just do something that is meditative for self.
Uh-huh. Yes,
even
that
if
makes
it's,
sense.
Even if it's a word like, of myself, I cannot do this, but I'm going to create the miracle of love around me in this moment.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I'm going to feel the arms of love around me in this moment.
Okay, yeah.
So, or I'm going to take this time to really look at the day or look at the sunshine or look at the rain or
mm-hmm,
be very
mm-hmm.
aware of the children's faces or be very aware of the love in the room and
right.
take a gratitude moment.
Uh-huh. And yeah, well, that's not hard because I do love students a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the reasons why I continue to do it. Because I do enjoy it and love it, but at the same time, I think it's becoming me time instead of, you know, everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's what I'm working towards is getting to the other side of it all, which you know, day by day chops away. It's like, yeah. Because I teach children, but they're,
mm-hmm.
you know, like between 18 and 55, you know.
Sure.
I mean, because it's a community college, and
mm-hmm.
so the students are quite a large range of ages.
That sounds exciting.
I love it.
That
yeah,
is great.
I like it a
That's
lot.
Great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And but like I said, it's time to start focusing on you know, my own home, my own family, and of course Heidi's about to have a baby, which is interesting.
Yes.
You know, she's having a baby shower here this weekend, and we're
mm-hmm.
getting ready for that, and you know, so, and that's real exciting because she's real excited, and you know, it's a happy thing.
Mm-hmm. When's the baby due?
January.
Oh,
January 12th or 7th, or you know, who knows.
I think it's the 10th.
Well, the due date flip-flops around a little bit because Heidi likes to do things her own way, and you know, so she likes to decide when it could be. And but you know, it's in the range of those dates.
Mhm. Well, you got it. You have an ace. Yeah, the next card is an ace.
Uh-huh.
It means that you've given. I love the Ace of Cups in any deck.
Yeah,
it's my
a good
favorite
one, yeah.
card. The swans are white. The
mm-hmm.
swans are white, and the fountain is overflowing with what you've given away.
Uh-huh.
And you know, it's like the Dorje. The Dorje is the monks thing that they hold. It's like giving and receiving. And it's time to dive in and receive.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Ten of Swords. I love the Ten of Swords because it's the little schoolhouse that's sitting on the cliff.
Uh-huh.
And all of the points of the swords are going into the cliff. But it's saying, take the leap of faith.
Uh-huh,
go into
right.
the intuitive emotional place.
Uh-huh.
Take that beautiful risk of just leaping in to, and you get, you know, all of these cards except for the little angel that is shooting the arrow, they all have water in them.
Right.
So it's all about the indicators of your, you know, the emotions indicate everything in our life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's saying right now, really look at your emotional indicator and your vibrational energy of really what you want to do right now.
Uh-huh, right, right.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's the time of life that, you know, we're coming to, the transitioning into being able to do what we want to do, and yet trying to balance how to get that done, you know, with all the details that go around things like that, like the finances and the responsibilities and, you know, kind of starting to change some of that stuff.
And in the very center of all, the last card is the World card that came up again here.
Uh-huh.
And it is all people together. I love this card.
Yeah, I do too.
With all the ethnicities. I can't get the word out tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Locked together, and the flowers that she's dancing on, and the drums represents the sound, and the fire represents the passion, and the snake around her arm represents the transformation. And
uh-huh.
It's exactly it's a world card of where we are now. It's
right,
like
right.
It's like I said about the little girl with curls on the evening news that said, they're not going to do that $5 thing on the card and in the bank. And
uh-huh.
then she got that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she's 100,000 people and all these people changing banks, and that was from that one child. I went, you go, girl.
Yeah. Well,
yeah,
well,
that's for
great
sure.
How they all changed. There's so many good things are happening in the midst
mm-hmm.
of difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
It's
well,
interesting.
The Pluto in Capricorn is showing the underbelly of the deception of the government and all of these institutions.
Right, right.
And
yes.
Uranus in Aries is making it instantly known because of the television and
uh-huh,
because of Facebook
right.
and Twitter. And I
right.
mean, not just instantly known in America, but all over the world.
It's amazing
mm-hmm.
how this has spread across the world, and it's so
mm-hmm.
necessary. Yeah, I have a friend, one of our friends from Petrolia, a
mm-hmm.
person's friend, who is quite independently wealthy, took off for Wall Street, you know. She's
mm-hmm.
she's there now with her father, and she's
wow.
not young, and her father isn't either. It's kind of neat to see their faces come back on Facebook
mm-hmm.
as they have this adventure of being there on Wall Street and going out to dinner, you know, in New York City and going back
mm-hmm.
to Wall Street. And she, when I say she's independently wealthy, I don't know if you could consider her one of the 1% or not, or if, and like Kate says, who wants to think about it like that anyway, but she's always definitely been a radical.
Right.
And she's one of those who broke away from a wealthy family to do
mm-hmm.
some of things on her own with the money that she has.
Mm-hmm.
And she always is doing, she's very much a philanthropist and doing things for other people. And it's just so fun to think of her. And I think if
mm-hmm.
I had the wherewithal, I'd be there too in New York City going to Wall Street and out to dinner. And
yes.
Yeah. I did that recently. I know. Yeah, loved every second of it. I went all by myself. I loved it.
Yeah, yeah. And met Joel there. That's great.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah. That's really good.
The energy of New York in itself is I used to, when I would go to New York, I studied in New York every week, you know, dancing and all.
Right,
but,
yeah.
But I always felt, even as a child, when you step your foot off the train in New York,
yeah,
there is a speeding up of energy.
Oh, yes, I know. I know. I remember that, too.
It's like a vibratory thing. The whole city just creates
right.
passion. And,
yes.
and inspiration, because there's so many artists and so many things in the museums and the theater and
right.
all of the things are just like, wow, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
I didn't even get tired, you know. I didn't sleep for 40 hours and didn't get tired.
That's
wow.
because the New York City blocks are so short. You say, I walked 11 blocks and the blocks are so short, you go, I don't
yeah.
even get tired.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's great. And I just loved the little video you sent back from Wall Street. And yeah, Eugene's dealing with it all very well. The police are working with the occupiers, and the mayor's working with the occupiers, and they've just established a camping area under a freeway bridge. And
oh, that's great.
I know. They're setting everything up for them, you know, tents, and all the homeless people are moving in too, and it's amazing. And they've just raised all the restrictions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm finding the one here in our city too, the people just are so lovely and peaceful in the occupied
yes.
area.
Yes,
and
yes, that's the way it is here too, yeah.
My son, we rode by and he said, they look so happy.
Uh-huh.
And they're right beside the police station, which is so funny.
I know. I
They're
know.
Between
so,
a police station and the Art Institute.
Right.
It's
right.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It's
that's,
like a very,
that's good.
Yeah.
I went to the mayor's office and I thanked him for his great leadership in allowing this to happen. I
uh-huh.
gave him a book as a present because he loves. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
The type of motorcycle that, oh my gosh,
Harley?
He loves those.
The
yeah,
Harley
he loves
Davidson.
Harley Davidson. He loves
uh-huh.
them. We have a book that we gave him
mm-hmm.
as a gift for his great leadership in this matter. So
that's good. And the mayor, is that still Gray, Mayor Gray?
And Mayor Gray, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Charlie Smithgall would have taken cannons down there and blasted them off the square.
Now Kate.
Oh my God.
Now
he
Kate.
Oh, come on, Sheila. You know he would have.
He just loved his. He loved his cannons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sid went to high school with him, so that's cool.
Did you?
Well, yeah. I'm. I don't know what he would have done. I have my ideas too, but I'm not going to say. I know this is a public venue.
Yeah, I know. But since it's my radio show, I can
that's
say
yours,
what I think.
Yes.
Well, we actually have another caller here. Let
okay.
me just bring them on. You can stay on. Just
okay.
Hang on.
No,
hi, this is. Hello, this is Kate. This is 956 area code. How are you this evening?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for hanging on there. How are you this evening?
Fine.
Would you like a tarot reading and an astrological insight tonight?
That is great. I so need to know what's going on in my future.
What's your birthday, honey?
11/13/75.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I hope it's a good one, though.
I didn't hear the year, honey. I couldn't hear it.
75, 11,
oh,
13.
I thought I heard 35, and I thought that's impossible with your voice. So, 11, what did you say again?
13.
11/13. Okay, she said a happy birthday. So it's 2 days away, right?
Yes.
No, what are we today? The 7th, like 4 days.
Okay. So, November 13th, 1975, right? Are you born
correct.
In the morning? Huh?
Correct.
Are you born in the morning or the afternoon, honey? What's your name?
Tony. My name is Tony, and I was born in the evening.
Okay, so we have another moon in Pisces. This is the moon in Pisces. Huh?
Ah, that's great.
Okay, darling, you're a Scorpio. I love
yes.
Scorpios.
It's a
very, very, Tony, very powerful sign, and it's a transformational sign. And transformation means, all the trance words mean, like transmutation, transcendence, transformation. It means during the life, there's going to be a real kind of transformation in your life. The Scorpio energy is always recreating itself in a very powerful way. And you really, the Piscean energy of the moon, as I said, the God seed or the breaking open of the Scorpio sun, when you have a Piscean moon, you have to learn what the Scorpio sun is attracted to is very powerful people in many kinds of ways, and they have to make sure that they don't become a victim to them, okay? They must make sure that they can learn from them, but they don't let them take them over, okay? And you have Mercury in Scorpio. You'd be very good at any kind of deep kind of thinking, deep kind of research, anything that has to do, because you have the sun in Scorpio and Mercury in Scorpio. Mercury in Scorpio is really the language of transformation, the language of deep conversation. And what, honey?
Oh, I'm listening.
I can't hear you. What?
I'm listening. I was just writing things down.
Okay, I'll go a little slower. Venus in Libra. You know, there again, we have the whole love thing, the whole thing of learning through love. And Jupiter in Aries. Jupiter in Aries, right now we have Uranus in Aries. So you have to really, it's not at 16 of Aries yet. It's at the beginning, Uranus. So it means something in your life. Something in your life is about to change in a really big way. Like some kind of catastrophic, I don't mean a really dangerous thing, but I mean some kind of explosive energy is happening in your life to really change your direction. And Saturn, you have Uranus, because you have Uranus in Scorpio, man, okay? You're very, you know, very deep, very interesting. I'd like to meet you.
Yeah, I have that luck, but no luck as far as maintaining the relationship.
Right. What's your question, dear?
Oh, I just wanted to see if things were going to get better for me as far as financial and, you know, romance.
Okay, what I'm going to say about financial is that Scorpio is casino money. Taurus is regular money that you earn every day, but as much Scorpio as you have in your chart, and I'm just going to go out on a limb saying you have Uranus in Scorpio, you could come into an instant fortune in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to believe that. Whatever you believe and however you tell the story, that's the way it's going to be, Tony.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds like a plan. That sounds like a plan.
Which means, you know, you're going to say from this moment forth, I'm going to be financially good, right? I'm going to have all the money in the world that I need to do anything that I want to do. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. The first card that you have is the Tower card. And it's the person holding the lightning, and she's seeing something, and she's eclipsing something. So it means whatever kind of a relationship or something, she's eclipsing that into a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And you also have the Ten of Discs in the Mother Peace cards, which means you have right now all these protective angels around you, but you're not asking them for anything. So you have to begin by waking up in the morning and say, I'm in gratitude for everything I have, and this is what I want today. This is what I want to happen for me today. And can you start testing that, Tony? And when you begin to get it, you're going to go, this works.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you also got the Empress. Interesting. I really shuffled these cards. It means you two are indifferently laying between places. You're laying from where you came from, and you have a rose in your hand in this card, and it's saying, I'm so afraid to take the chance because things are going to turn out badly. So it's saying, pick up the mirror and look at yourself and say, I'm changing my perception of reality. I'm looking at myself and everything is going to harvest into something beautiful. My relationship and my finances.
Okay.
And moving, taking the risk to not be in a comfort, you're in a comfort zone that is not exactly, a comfort zone is where you stay when you're in some way in denial. And it's saying, stretch out of there. Do something uncomfortable. Stretch to a new place. Take a risk this week. Okay?
Yes. Okay. I so agree on that. I need to take a risk. I'm just so scared of taking a risk.
Okay. Why is the emotion scared to take the risk?
Well,
What happened to make you afraid to take the risk?
I have no idea. I mean, I just shut down.
What I want you to do when you get off this line with me, I want you to go and I want you to get a journal or something and write down why I'm scared to take a risk, okay? Then you write what you're scared to take. Just free flow, okay? Let your intuitive brain tell you. And then say, feel all the feelings around that, okay? And then say, I am now going to collapse this energy, scared to take a risk. I'm collapsing this energy of what I just said, and I'm reframing it. Now, the way you reframe the story is you say, I am now willing to take a challenge on like I never have before, and I'm not afraid anymore. That's how you reframe a story.
Mm-hmm.
And you integrate that new sentence and never say that first sentence again.
Okay.
Can you do that for me?
I will. I'll get write it down. I'm listening.
Okay.
Very
do
carefully.
It. Don't do it for me. Do it for you. Okay, Angel?
Mm-hmm. I will. Thank you very much for your feedback.
Okay. Thank you,
Thank
Tony.
You for calling, Tony. Thank
Good
you.
Night,
Good
honey.
Luck to you. Good luck to you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Goodbye. That was really great. We could just reach the end of the show.
Okay.
And I want to
say this again before I get off the air.
Uh-huh.
I think that the cover of the book is beautiful, and I think the name of the book is beautiful, Prescriptions for Prayers, and I just think it's all wonderful, okay?
I'm giving you a plug there. Thank you, but
I
need to give you a plug, which is SheilaAudette.com for everybody who's listening.
Okay. Sheila,
and thank you,
Sheila
and Kate. It was fun.
Thank you. Thank you, Sid.
Thank
okay.
you, Sid. Nice
Hear
to talk to you.
Nice to talk
okay.
to you, too.
Bye-bye. I'm going to be playing music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.